Feed Your Mind and Change Your Life with June and Lenny Lane in association with O Books.
Hey, this is June and Lenny Lane on My Spirit Radio, and welcome back after the break. So I'm still here with Tom Evans, and we're still talking light bulb moments. Are you there, Tom?
I am indeed, June and Lenny.
Great. Well, I said that I was going to ask you the question, how can we get to the point in our lives when we're actually generating light bulb moments on demand, which, of course, is a big mystery to most people, and I'm sure that people will be very interested to know if there's a technique for this.
Well, it all starts with a quiet mind. So if you're, as I mentioned before, if you're all running internal dialogue, that commentary that we seem to run in our heads, maybe about things that you've, conversations you've had in the past or imagined conversations you're going to have in the future, or just a general commentary about what's going on around you, that will have the effect of blocking the light bulb moment. So the best way to make the mind go quiet is through meditation. And many, many people think that meditation is difficult to do. I know that when I first got into it, I thought, well, how can I make my active mind go quiet? And by the way, I really haven't got 10 or even 20 minutes to waste every morning on meditation.
Oh, to waste? Are you sure it would be wasted?
Absolutely. And then now I'm going, if I don't have a meditation, I know I have a worse day.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I also know that for every minute of meditation, you get at least a minute of an extended minute of life anyway. So the benefits are huge for it. So learning to meditate is one of the key ways of having light bulb moments on demand. But the key is to meditate on two things. One, on the breath, because the breath powers the light bulb moment. The inspiration phase especially powers the light bulb moment. And there's a free download on my website that teaches people this technique.
And we'll put a copy of your a note of your website on our page as well. But you could say it now. It's
www.tomevans.co. That's .co, not .co.uk or .com.
Okay.
And if you go to downloads and free stuff, you'll find an 11-minute meditation there that will take you into the perfect state to have light bulb moments.
Okay. And while we're just talking about your website, also you have a series of talks and workshops coming up, and I believe all that information is on your website as well, correct?
That's right. And what the talks are all about is actually doing this live. So if you want to experience this, everyone that comes along is going to walk away with at least one, if not two or more, light bulb moments and learn even more of the techniques that I teach for grounding and getting the left and right brain in synchronization. And that indeed is the next trick. Is once you've then got once you enter the meditative state, you'll find that you'll get light bulb moments seeping in all throughout the day, not just in the meditation time.
Very useful.
Absolutely, yeah. And then the next thing you can do, meditation, by the way, doesn't have to be sitting in a darkened room with your legs crossed. It can just be going out for a good walk. And why that's important is because when you walk, it moves the fluid around in your brain from left to right. And it actually gets the left and right to communicate. And the latest research is catching up with where a lot of the spiritual thinkers and mystics have thought for many, many years, is that we've actually got two minds. We've got a left brain, which kind of sits in space and time, and that is almost the generator of consciousness in the physical world. And our right brain sits outside space and time and is almost like the receiver of consciousness. Now, that's a real oversimplification. It's much more complicated than that, but that'll give you an idea of how the two minds work together. And so if you're very, very left-brained, you'll be very good at doing things like engineering and mathematics and spatial things. And if you're very right-brained, you'll be very good at art. And the key is to have the balance of the two to get the light bulb moment to, one, to come in, and two, to be grounded and actually have a good chance of seeing the light of day.
Yeah, I found that a lot, especially in my writing, because I get the inspiration through the right-hand side of the brain, and I know exactly what I mean, but to write that down and expect someone to read it would be impossible, so I have to have a left brain moment in order to edit it and so that it makes sense to whoever's reading it.
Mm-hmm. And all I use for that is a technique called mind mapping. Have you come across that?
Oh, yes, yes, I have. Yeah, the first time was when I started to do it with my daughter when she was young. They do it a lot with kids, don't they?
Yeah, they're brilliant for revision, brilliant for... If you want to do a talk, I mind map a talk, then I stare at the mind map for about 60 seconds in a meditative state, and I remember the whole talk. I don't need to take any notes or PowerPoint and that sort of thing. And, you know, I can talk for about an hour on the same on the topic, having mind mapped it. And the reason they work really well is the left brain kind of says to the right, well, I do the maps around here, the navigation, you leave the maps to me. And the right brain goes, brilliant, left brain's busy, I'll sneak under his radar and be my creative self.
Yeah, and because it's quite pictorial as well, I guess that appeals to the right side of the brain, rather than just lists and lists and words.
Yeah, and it's neural as well, so it spreads in the way that the thoughts and the memes and the musings on the mind map spread are the same way that they are stored and radiate out in our own conscious processes. So they mimic exactly what's going on in our brains.
Well, could you just briefly, for the listeners, describe a mind map, just in case anyone doesn't know what they are?
Yeah, very good. So you start off with as big a sheet of paper as possible landscape mode, so that's not upright, and you draw an image in the very centre of the thing that you want to have an idea about. So let's say it's a business opportunity, or it might be, as I mentioned, a talk that you're doing, or a book you want to write, or a painting that you want to do. And then what you do from the centre is you draw out branches, and on those branches you put either words or images that are on your mind or are conjured up by the central image. And then, you know, word association, whereas if I said cat, you'd say dog, and if you said cat, I'd say caterpillar, and if I said caterpillar, you'd say butterfly. Then what you do is you radiate out from those initial branches in a kind of word association way, and it's amazing where it takes the mind. I did this when I was stuck on the ninth chapter of the Lightbulb Moment book, and as a result of it, I ended up with the Lightbulb Moment for the sequel book that I wasn't even planning to write.
Wow, so that's coming soon as well.
Well, it's kind of out, actually, ironically. It came out about 9 months before the Lightbulb book.
Oh, so you really are working right brain, the reverse from the back to the front.
Well, what happens is when you work in this mode where you're getting Lightbulb Moments all the time, you spot coincidences and serendipities all the time. So all my books that I've written, the publisher's always found me. It's always been the other way around. Well, the publishing route has found me.
Yes, me too. Isn't that extraordinary? Yeah.
Yeah. And so the very day that I finished the last chapter of the sequel book, I got an email in from this publisher, and they went published it within a month. It was that quick.
Wow, that's really great, isn't it? Well, look, this book sounds great, and... I can understand fully what I would do with it and about it, but could you just give an idea to those listening in who it's for and how it can actually help me, the reader?
Okay, so primarily it's for people that want to get even more out of less. So the fact that you get Lightbulb Moments in less than a second means that you can have the most amazing idea with no effort whatsoever. And it can change your life, and it can change your world. So it can be for business people, entrepreneurs. It can be for artists, musicians, and authors. You know, they say you've got your whole life to write your first book, and then a contractual period to write your second one. Brilliant, brilliant. Same for musicians, and you know, when you've been commissioned to do some art, and the flow wouldn't come in. Brilliant for people that are in that sort of industry. Great for explorers of the mind. Good for teachers and for students as well, to learn out how the mind works and how you can get more out of it. And basically good for people that want to just explore and have some fun.
I think it would be really interesting as well to give this to a younger audience, because surely the younger that children learn this stuff, to me, the more extraordinary human beings will make.
Absolutely. I really want to take this into schools and universities, and that's one part of my plan over the next 12 months.
Oh, it makes perfect sense to me. So as we're coming to the end, let me just get in quickly and ask you about something that you've said in the book, which is using a third of the time that you waste sleeping, why don't you order dreams? You're talking about ordering dreams. Tell us, how on earth can we order dreams and why would we do that?
Okay, well the main thing is you get this great efficiency. So the 8th chapter of the book, I dreamt the whole chapter up. So it's like getting an extra chapter done when you weren't expecting to do it. And pretty much for advantage, if you read the chapter, you'll see what I mean by that. So basically, it's the first reason to do it is for efficiency. Then the other reason you do it is because when you're dreaming, then the conscious mind is quiescent and quiet, and it doesn't get in the way. So you get some really, really fantastic stuff that you wouldn't get in any other form. It's like deep meditation. But the trick is, and I'm sure many people experience this, remembering how to remember the dream and to interpret it. And what's nice about this is that there's a technique which I describe, which is to luxuriate in that lovely time between being asleep and waking up. So instead of getting up straight away, making a cup of tea or something like that, just spend about 5 or 10 minutes waking up really, really slowly. Very healthy thing to do anyway. And actually your dream then leaks into the conscious world and you can write it down. And there's a technique in the book about how to, a simple way of interpreting it.
Hmm. So as far as dream interpretation is concerned, do you think that varies from person to person? Do you think it can be standard?
Absolutely. Yes, there are some metaphors that run through all societies, and it's weird how it can be. It doesn't matter where what the education system is, what the culture system is, but some of the things are the same. And there's a lady called Davina McHale that's got a book out called The Dream Whisperer, and she writes about that very well. One example is if you lose your teeth, it's about not being able to provide. So it can be quite a common metaphor. It's not just about not being able to eat. It's been able to. It's quite a primal thing, really. But she writes about this very eloquently. But the one thing that I wouldn't recommend to do is to buy a dream interpretation book, because it's someone else's interpretation. And we all the same dream to the same two different people might mean something completely different.
Yeah, I have to say that when I was young and still undecided about a career, I used to have recurring dreams about bridges. And I made the big mistake of telling my careers teacher about this, and he sent me off on a path of becoming a civil engineer.
Oh dear, that's too literal.
But I think he was, I mean, really what my dreams, I believe now, were saying to me that I needed to bridge maybe the right and left brain with the corpus callosum, or I needed to bridge spirituality and science, art and science in the same way as you do, or become the bridge, you know, between spirit and humanity, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you think about what we said before as well, a bridge quite often runs over water. So it could also be it could also mean that you are the consciousness sitting on the super consciousness stream.
Oh, I like that. Yes.
There you go.
How wonderful. Well, is there anything more that you would like to promote just before we finish? Because I'm sure that people will take a listen to this and they will want to do some workshops or talks or things with you. Is there anything in particular coming up this year that you could recommend?
Well, I'm doing my first of the big workshops, the one-day workshops in November this year. But I'm doing, before that, I'm doing about 5 or 6 one-hour talks up and down the country, Cambridge, Manchester, Exeter, London, but all the dates are on and the locations are on the website. But I actually like to say, anyone's listening to this and would like me to come and talk to their group or come into their school or university or business to talk about these techniques, I'd be more than happy to do so. And all the contact details are on the website.
Lovely. And we will put all your contact details on the My Spirit Radio website. Well, Tom, thank you very much for your talk. It's been very enlightening and enjoyable.
And to you, thank you very much for your time today. It's been wonderful. I can't wait till we meet in person one of these days.
Sure, for sure. You've been listening to June and Lenny Lane on My Spirit Radio, talking to Tom Evans about his book, The Art and Science of Lightbulb Moments. And I'll be right back after the break.
Feed your mind and change your life with June and Lenny Lane in association with O Books.